It struck me recently, something rather strange about music and musicians. One of the things you often hear songs about is, of course, love. But often the musicians who write and sing those songs don't seem to be very good at putting it into practice. Think of John Lennon and Paul McCartney. They sang "All You Need Is Love" and then virtually ignored each other for the rest of John Lennon's life. Simon and Garfunkel had a cordial loathing for each other. And the band Oasis. They made some classic albums, but Noel and Liam Gallagher ended up fighting, and it seems they still can't stand each other. Which is particularly strange, because the song we're thinking about this morning is Oasis' song "Don't Look Back in Anger." Something which the pair of them seem completely unable to put into practice. This morning we're finishing our summer series on new songs and old songs. We've been looking at some of the big songs of the last generation and seeing how, while they often flag up some of the big questions of life, they rarely seem to have much in the way of answers. There was Ed Sheeran's "Castle on the Hill." It shows that nostalgia, whilst so many of us feel nostalgia, it just doesn't work. "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." It's all about the dreams we build our lives on, but doesn't really say anything about how to fulfill those dreams. Now this morning, a song that, even though it is 20 years old, came back to prominence a couple of months ago when it became almost like an anthem after the Manchester bombing. Oasis's "Don't Look Back in Anger." Of course, one of the things with many modern songs is figuring out what they actually mean anyway. And that's definitely true with this one. Apparently, even Noel Gallagher, who wrote it, doesn't know what it's about. So that doesn't really give us a lot of chance. But there's one theme that does run through it. It seems that it's about having been hurt by someone, but then not allowing that to make you bitter. So you hear, "Take that look from off your face. You ain't ever gonna burn my heart out." And then goes on, "But don't look back in anger, I heard you say." Don't look back in anger. Don't let what's been done to you affect you too deeply. Don't let it burn your heart out. But is that the best that we can do when we've been hurt? Especially when you go to the last line of the song. "But don't look back in anger. Don't look back in anger, I heard you say. At least not today. I'll forgive you today. But maybe tomorrow I'll change my mind. And I'll do it, not for your sake, but for mine. You ain't ever gonna burn my heart out." Now, I guess that is better than revenge. But again, is that really the best that we can hope for? Is it the best that we can manage? As we've seen right through this series, where modern songs can flag up an issue, we do need to turn to those much older songs, the Psalms, for real answers. So let's do that now as we turn to Psalm 4. Psalm 4 verse 1, "Answer me when I call you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." David was obviously going through a tough time. There were people who were attacking him, maybe literally, maybe with their words, and he knew he didn't deserve it, which I guess made it even worse. David was being unfairly treated. His glory was being turned into shame. And other people were believing the lies that were being told. In verse 2, "How long will you love delusions and seek false gods?" Could be translated more literally, "How long will you love delusions and seek lies?" People were just spreading lies about him. So what do you do when someone is attacking you and others go along with it? When people are slandering you behind your back and others seem happy to believe them? Decide that you'll just turn your back away from them? Don't look back in anger? David has a different response. Verse 5, 4 and 5, tremble and do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Or as you'll see in the footnote at the bottom of the page, it could be translated, in your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. So, it's the end of the day. It's been a tough day. Worst of all, people have been having a go at you, attacking you. Someone at work has made a malicious statement about you and got you into trouble. Or you've just discovered that a close friend has actually been saying some pretty unkind things about you behind your back. Not a great day. You go to bed. What thoughts are in your mind? Very probably not terribly charitable ones. It's only natural, isn't it? You lie there thinking of the things you wish you'd said or the things you're going to say. You're not planning revenge, not exactly. But what had happened is filling your thoughts and you want to do something about it. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek lies? So you lie there in bed with what has happened stewing in your mind. What do you do? Well, verse 4 says, in your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Yes, you might start off by being angry, but don't sin. And of course, what David says is a reminder that sin isn't just about what we do or say. It is thinking about doing it, lying there, stewing about the situation, and planning what you would like to do. That's sinning. So instead of that, set your hearts and be silent. It's what Paul says in Ephesians 4, which he's almost certainly quoting this psalm. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry. Turn away from thoughts of revenge. Don't look back in anger. First, it seems that David is agreeing with Noel Gallagher. Don't plan for revenge. It won't do anybody any good. Of course, in Don't Look Back in Anger, the reason for not seeking revenge, for forgiving, seems to be for your own benefit. You ain't ever going to burn my heart out. And it's true that unforgiveness generally only hurts the person who's refusing to forgive, so forgiving is therapeutically good. But David goes a whole lot further than that. It's there in verse 7. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. Did you catch that? Could David really pray that? Because what he was praying shows that far from seeking revenge, David wants God to do good to these enemies who are giving him a hard time. Actually, if you look this verse up in different versions of the Bible, it can be translated different ways. Often it's along the lines of, you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. And it might be that David is saying that his relationship with God gives him joy even when bad things are happening to him, when other people are making his life hard. And that's a great thing, to know that even when this kind of storm of opposition is swirling around you, you can still know joy. It takes us back to something that we saw last Sunday, that when God is your greatest desire, then human disappointments will never cripple you. But I think that David is saying more than that. In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous. Instead of planning and seeking revenge, do what is right, even if it is a sacrifice. But still, praying for the best for your enemies when they are trying to spoil and hurt your life, that's going a bit far, isn't it? Could you ever do that? How could David even think of doing it? I think the only way a prayer like that is even remotely possible is when you also have David's trust in the Lord. Look at verse 1 again. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Or verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. David's trust in the Lord meant that he knew that God is righteous. He will do what is right. David could safely leave dealing with what his enemies had done in God's hands. Whatever they were doing, God had set David apart for himself. He was in God's hands. So David could do what is right and trust in God's justice. But still, not just forgiving your enemies and leaving them to God's justice, but actually praying for your enemies' good. Where does that come from? And I suspect that it came from David knowing just how much God had done for him. David knew that he'd done some serious things, and most notably his adultery with Bathsheba and then having her husband killed in an attempt to cover his tracks. But when he asked God to forgive him, God did. And not only that, God went on to bless him. If David had received forgiveness like that, then surely he had to be willing to give forgiveness like that. And of course, that's what the parable of Jesus in our gospel reading is all about. That first servant had been forgiven a huge debt. So when he then refused to forgive a much smaller debt himself, it is obviously wrong. Even though David knew that he'd received God's forgiveness, he wouldn't really have understood how that could happen. But we can. Because it wasn't just that God let us off the things that we have done wrong. He actually took the consequences of that sin on himself. Jesus, the Son of God, took on himself all that I have ever done wrong, and he died in my place. And not only that, he then showered blessings on me that I could never in a million years deserve. And if you know that yourself, then I think merely not looking back in anger for your own sake does look a pretty feeble response. In fact, this of course is the point of Jesus' parable, if you act like that second servant, then I'm afraid it really shows that you've never really understood what God has done for you. If you can't forgive someone who's hurt you, it means that you have never actually known the life-transforming effect of God forgiving you. Now, that doesn't mean that forgiveness is easy or trivial, but it means that as you understand the amazing thing that God's done for you, it's bound to feed through in your own life. But when you do know that, not only does it enable you to forgive someone who's hurt you, it even enables you to pray for their good, because you know how amazing God's love to you has been, despite the way you often treat him. So don't look back in anger. It's certainly better than trying to get your own back and being eaten up by unforgiveness. But there is a better way. The way of Psalm 4. It's the way of recognizing what has been done, but then leaving it in God's hands and trusting his justice. The way of praying for your enemies, rather than thinking how you can get your own back. It is the way of real forgiveness. And of course, it is the way of peace. The end of that psalm. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord,
Make me dwell in safety.